Welcome to HQAF Radio. I'm Alana.
And I'm Francis. And this is a show about two best friends. Hey guys, welcome back.
Yeah.
Alana is just giving me shit for forgetting our friendship anniversary.
Yeah.
On October 19th.
Which is pretty incredible because it's October 19th, 2019. You'd think the double 19s would make you remember it better.
Like, you know, another mnemonic that would have helped is, like, it's exactly 1 week before my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know why I still, like, forget it.
Yeah.
It's also not on my calendar because you forgot to include me on the calendar invite.
I have a yearly calendar invite for Friendship Anniversary, which I was so sure that either I created while inviting Francis or Francis created and invited me. And so every year now I have this calendar invite and I look on the invitees list and it's literally just my email.
And it's not even like your current one. It's your old one.
Yeah. And it's like no responses from this email that's old. And I'm like, wow. Because, Francis made plans on our friendship anniversary. And I was like, how could you forget? It's on your calendar. Like, it's on mine every year. No, it's not. So I'm just going to have to make a new one with my new email. Just start up a new identity and
I don't know why it's not on there. Because I feel like it has been.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and we had a very special episode planned for that day.
Yeah.
But you guys will just have to wait.
You listener, one singular. We'll just have to wait and see what we have up our sleeves. But believe you me, it's gonna be great.
Well, today we have a very special episode.
Yeah.
And it's not one of Alana's goals.
It's not.
Second time in a row.
I know.
That we're just postponing that.
I'm really excited for this episode because I feel like it's different. I like us going down this track of doing different kinds of episodes.
It's a different kind of goal because it's a financial goal.
Yeah.
Girl, we're here to talk about money.
Budgeting specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's all related to money.
It's all money. It's all money. It's all things that you spend and, you know, get things with.
But what about more money, more problems? Do you subscribe to that theory?
Kind of do, actually. I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, like, my parents, they're from the Philippines, and every time I go back, like, the difference between America and the Philippines is very stark. Very stark, especially when you go to the poor areas. And, you know, some of my relatives are actually, like, poor, and they live a very simple life.
Yeah.
They live a very simple life, and I sometimes wonder if, like, if I didn't live here in America, would I have the same kind of worries that I do over there? I mean, I'm sure I could probably get sick more and probably die earlier, but, like, you know, like...
Would I be able to watch Super Nanny?
Do I need to worry about, like, my podcast?
Right.
Yeah.
Could I have a cat? Or could I watch the various animes on my iPad? I don't know. I'm not a very... I was talking about this off audio with Francis earlier, that I'm not a very luxurious person. You know, my husband and I want, like, our one or two things, and we want to live just a very standard lifestyle, and that's kind of, like, it. Like, I just want to be able to go and write my fan fictions and maintain my three Twitters and just, like, have a great fucking time with my radio show. And, like, that's it. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, like, I find that the older I get, the more money... becomes more significant to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, maybe when I was 20, I didn't even really consider, you know, like, I thought, okay, cool. I've got savings. That means I'm really doing well for myself. But now that I'm 30, it's like, damn, saving, like, a savings account is nothing. Like, it's nothing. You're doing it wrong. Like, you're an idiot. Yeah, things like that, like, oh, and then I need how much to retire comfortably? Like, oh my God.
True. Yeah.
Like a few million? What am I going to... I have to become a millionaire in order to retire comfortably? How is that going to work?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of become, like, my financial advisor in this period of my life because I'm just now in a place and in a stage of my life, like, because I think that... You when you get to be in a certain stage of your life, like marriage, right, and considering family and buying a house. Like, that's when you start to think financially. You start to create a budget. Like, before then, you're just not thinking about that because, I don't know, like, it's just not your main focus.
Yeah.
But I'm not at a point where I'm trying to think strategically. And, yeah, Francis has kind of been, like, my advisor in that sense, because my parents were not great with money.
Yeah.
Which they've been always very upfront about it. Like, we don't know what we're doing, but it hasn't been a great example. Like, they haven't offered me any, like, wisdom or truth around that.
Yeah.
Just that they had a lot of kids and they don't really know how we all got fed, but it worked out well. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way with my parents, though. They were, I guess they did teach me a little bit here and there. Like, I know that it's important to save. Like, you have to, you should save. Like, I know the concept of saving. And my dad taught me about what it meant to have a credit card. Like, that very, like, simple things. And it's, I feel like one of the issues was just, like, they didn't know some of the, like, the more complicated facets of personal finance. Like, oh, why it's not a bad idea to invest in the stock market. What is a 401k?
Right.
How to invest your funds correctly in your 401k.
Yeah.
You know, how, what does it mean to have taxable income, and why is it, why does having tax deductions matter? You know, like things
right.
like that. Like I've never thought about that before in my 20s, actually. Like, I feel I'm late to the game because I never learned that, and I never learned that from my parents. And you know, honestly, like, I've come to realize, like, I don't even really blame my parents for that. Like, you can't, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of sucks that you have to find out this information on your own.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, like, you rely on your parents, and if your parents don't know it, then you're kind of
shit
out of luck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to run a quick Google search, as my dear friend Catherine has taught me to do more often.
Yeah.
But I was just very overwhelmed. Like, that information's out there, but it's kind of hard to absorb information like financial planning without feeling kind of overwhelmed. It's
yeah.
like, it's like planning a wedding. Like, there's so many things to planning a wedding that if you don't have, like, a checklist or someone that isn't there to say, hey, first you do this and then all these other things come after, then you just kind of feel overwhelmed and you don't really want to do it because it's just a lot.
It is.
A quick Google search was just like, oh my God, all these things. And now I just don't even know, which is why it's, like, super awesome that I have you, who has mastered the budgeting, you know, guruism.
I'm not even mastered. Like, so I feel like I really started this, this train of thought after I married Chris. Like I've always been a little money conscious even before Chris. Like, I had savings and, you know, like I wasn't in debt, you know, like I knew how to save.
Yeah.
But it was after I met Chris and after I, like, started thinking about what our lives meant, you know, like, how to live a married life and what our long-term future goals are as a couple. you know, like, how do I save up for that? How do I save up for a kid? Like, how do I save up for retirement? I looked at a retirement calculator, saw it was millions of dollars, and I'm like, I'm...
Oh, my God.
Like, how... It's like, unfathomable, like, how
yeah.
much and how much you can do with your money and... And it was really hard to all take in all at once. Like, I've had to learn this after my marriage with Chris, and I'm 32 right now, and I feel like I would have had a much easier start if I had learned it when I was 25.
So when, two questions. One, when did you learn it? And two, do you talk about it with your friends? Like, did you learn it from your friends, or do you talk about budgeting with your friends, or is that, like, weird? I mean, I know we talk about it, but I know it's because you're very much in the know, but I don't talk about it with other people, really. Is it kind of one of those things you don't talk about? Like,
So money is, like, one of those weird things. Have you... So I think this is one of your goals, and it's...
Oh, it
one
is?
Of the one of the episodes, actually, is called Death, Sex, and Money. One of the episodes, the podcasts that I, like...
Oh, that you want
list,
me to listen to.
Death, Sex, and Money. And it's about, like, people talking about those very topics. And it's because those topics are kind of taboo. It's, like,
yeah.
hard for people to really be open with. Even to friends, even to family, even. Like, it's hard to
yeah.
just be like, this is what it really is like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I think you know me generally, like, I'm very open about very much broad topics of things.
Yeah.
Partly it's because, like, my close inner circle of friends are close to me. Like, that's, you know, like, I'm very comfortable discussing any and all topics. I find that in mixed company, though, that the money conversation is harder to broach.
Mm-hmm.
It's, some people are more sensitive to it than others. And, you know, like, in this, even... Part of it is, like, a symptom of the city that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, like, you are going to run into people who are just really successful, or in that, i.e., that they just make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And versus other people who are struggling to, like, make ends meet, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so money is very, it's a varying topic across varying income levels.
Yeah.
So... To answer your question, like, I think it really just depends on the people.
Yeah.
I really got introduced to the idea of, or like the high, introduced the higher level financial education.
Yeah.
By my friend T, actually. Like,
oh, really?
To be honest with you, yeah. He was actually the first one that kind of laughed at me when I was like, yeah, you know, like, I went back when I was in my 20s thinking I was making a ton of money. It's like, yeah, you should really look into, like, maybe, like, a savings account or something, like, or, like, investing that in, like, the stock market. And I was like, I blew him off, like, the stock market, that's for, you know, people who want to gamble their lives away, like the recession, like,
oh my God.
Like, you
yeah.
idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, but I think as time has gone on, like, he's really encouraged me to, like talk to a financial advisor. He's the first person to even bring up the idea of a financial advisor to me. He's been seeing one for years. He's been talking about, like, different ways to invest your money so that way it grows. And yeah, like, I to this day am thankful that he at least tried, you know. Like, I was too stubborn to listen to him, but he was one of the first people that kind of made me realize that first, money isn't a taboo topic. Like, yeah, I think you should be able to talk about it with your friends.
Yeah.
But also that it's important because you don't get that information anywhere else.
Right.
You know, like I might not take all of his, like, money information seriously, because, like, maybe sometimes I don't want to invest in Bitcoin. Like, it just maybe doesn't make a lot of sense. But,
yeah.
You know, like it's good to at least understand that, you know, what other people are doing and kind of learning from them, especially if you don't have that basis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
that's really smart.
Yeah. How about you? I was going to say, how about you?
Oh, sorry.
Alana's about to end the segment.
I was about to end the segment. I thought, because I really have nothing else to say. Well, how about me? It's just really from you. I mean, I'm currently, like, in the learning process. Or you mean, you're
no,
asking
like, how
about...
do you, like, do you talk about it with your family or your friends? Or,
oh,
like, how
yeah.
open
well,
are you
so
with it?
I'm open, honestly, because of you.
Yeah.
Because you, and I remember when we first became friends, like, you very much were like, yeah, I'm a very open person. Like, I don't, and you were specifically like, yeah, I'm open about money. Like, I don't think it's... should be a weird taboo thing. If you're my friend, like, I know you, that I just don't see it as a weird, like, veil that you should have.
Yeah.
And so we've always been very open about that, and that's kind of made me very open with other people, which now looking back, I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's inappropriate. But I don't know, like, because I'm also an open person, too. I think
yeah.
if people were to come up to me and ask me my honest opinion on X or just various things, like, I would tell them the truth, because I'm just someone who's also a very open person.
Well, so let's say somebody were to come up, and just for a disclaimer, you guys, we're not going to say our actual salaries on the air, because, like, that's stupid. Like, this is the internet.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Wait, well, let's not even say pretend salaries.
Not even pretend, but, like, in the situation
yeah.
that somebody was like, hey, you know, what is your salary? Like, and let's say it wasn't me. Let's say it was just an acquaintance. Like, how would
oh,
you...
no.
Yeah.
Definitely not. No.
Yeah.
Not an acquaintance.
Yeah.
But a friend, yes. But I think I'm at a point where, like, they don't have to be a super close, like, ultra best friend for me to talk about.
What if you got a raise? How would you, what would you say?
I would tell them. I mean, are these friends who I work with? Then no. Obviously, it adds the element of, like, I work with them. There's a whole other work dynamic.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they're just, like, a friend, I don't think you need to be a super tight, ultra best friend for us to share stuff like that.
Because I've, like, sometimes felt that even the topic, and with, this is the one, like, with the people who money is, like, maybe a little bit more sensitive topic, like, even the topic of a raise is a little bit hard. Like, it's a good thing.
Oh, but like people getting jealous.
But like saying like, oh, I got a 20% raise. Like,
yeah.
Like it makes it like, I didn't even like throw out a number. I just throw out a percentage and it feels uncomfortable. Even though it's good news, you know,
like
good
like
news
for me. People feeling like there's a wage gap almost, or like, oh, they're, you know, making way more money than me. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's where it feels like uncomfortable, if anything, for me.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I'm a little bit more sensitive to that. Like I'm open to it with my friends, but that's why I'm sensitive to that particular aspect of money.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't. Yeah, I guess just because I've been super open. So now I'm going to be more conscientious of that, I guess. Whoops. So, I guess kind of the origin of even this episode topic was because, well, as I stated earlier, Francis has become sort of my financial advisor,
which,
as it were.
I am totally glad to be, because I love passing on wisdom, you know that?
Yeah, yeah. Francis does love talking financials. He really loves, he also loves talking credit cards. So if y'all need credit card advice,
girl,
go to him. He knows the ones that have the best rewards, the best cash back, whatever.
I actually have to give that all to Chris, but yes, I do love talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Francis has been like my guru, as it were, with budgeting, and yeah, budgeting has really been on my mind recently, because I guess now I've been married for about a year and a half now, but it felt like the first year of marriage was just like a whirlwind. There was lots of things going on, and lots of new like jobs or promotions, just like tons of stuff. And now I'm finally at a point like I'm a little more settled down. Life isn't racing a mile a minute. And now I think it's, like, finally time for me to start saving and just start thinking strategically about my money.
Yeah.
Now that my life doesn't feel like a roller coaster of craziness.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's really kind of what inspired me. And I guess to what you were saying, too, is that when you find a person that you think that you're going to be with and you're thinking about the future, it does make you just start to think strategically more about that, like how to achieve those goals with that person and what you want that future to look like.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like when you don't think of money as the foundation of a lot of what you do, because like without money you can't buy groceries, you can't pay for rent, you can't do gas, you can't pay for gas or utilities. If you don't start thinking about it as like maybe at the foundational aspect of your day-to-day, like it becomes easy to kind of forget about it and not realize that maybe you're overspending too much or you're not saving enough or whatever.
Yeah And I will definitely say too that budgeting and just future, because I mean I've been with Harley a long time, but I lived with my parents up until we got married, and that meant that I really didn't have to think of, like, I didn't have a lot of expenses, and then I was going to college, and then I was working part-time. I mean, I just didn't feel like, oh, I need to be in the headspace to think strategically, because, like, I don't have bills to pay.
Right.
And so, yeah, really when Harley and I got married and we moved in together, that's when it really started becoming apparent we should start thinking about these things. But I wanted to ask you, you know, do you think that there's a certain age where people should start thinking about it? Like, you were saying, in my 20s, maybe it would have been better to think about that, but I feel like when I was in my 20s, I just didn't, I don't know, but maybe it would have been beneficial. Like, I would be in a better place now. Like, do you think, I guess, for our listeners out there?
Well, and I think it just depends on your goals.
True.
Yeah. Because, like, right now, we're so, I wouldn't say hyper-focused, but we really want a house, like, in the next 2 or 3 years. And so, what is the, you know, because we have such a short-term goal, what is the best way to save up for that?
Yeah.
When you're younger, maybe the budgeting is just as simple as saying, well, I'm going to put aside X amount for my retirement and X aside for just, you know, future funds for the emergency. And then the rest I can do with whatever, you know, like, you don't need to get down into the weeds if you don't want to, but you know, like your budget can just be as simple as that.
Right. So do you think that people should start thinking strategically about their money or saving for retirement, like as soon as they get a job, or do you think that's more of like a halfway through college, or it's different for every?
Oh yeah, no, I think like it's like you should start at least making some strategic moves when you're younger, when you can. I'm one of the things I'm glad I did when I was younger, I opened up a credit card when I was a freshman, and I just have kept that credit card since then. Even though it doesn't have, like, any sort of rewards or benefits associated with it, it's one of my oldest credit cards, and it's helped me just maintain a good credit balance through the years.
And has created credit history.
Credit history, That's what I meant to say.
Which I just learned, oh my gosh, everyone on the internet's going to laugh at me, but Francis just told me that you're supposed to, I'm an adult, I've had a credit card for 5 years now. I found out as recently as, I think, 3 weeks ago, you told me you're supposed to pay off your credit card in its entirety. Now, listen, listeners, I would pay off most of the credit card, but I felt like, why do I have to pay off the whole thing? Doesn't it count
if Alana was, like, well within her means to pay off the whole thing. She just left the debt in her account.
I thought they liked that. And then I was, like, pissed. It came up because I'm like, oh, why does my credit card keep taking interest when I pay, like, almost all of it, but still leave, you know, X amount on there? It's like, well, because that's what it's charging you interest on. The fact that there's an outstanding balance. And then I got annoyed. I'm like, well, if that's how credit cards work, why the fuck do I even use them? Why don't I just pay out of my money then? This is so stupid. I have to remember to pay it off at a certain time. This is so dumb. Yeah. But 5 years.
You know, like, technology, you can just auto-pay.
Auto pay it off?
Yeah, like just have them.
Shut up! Are you serious? Yes. Oh my god, how have I had a credit card this long?
As long as you don't overspend on your credit card what's in your checking account, then you're fine. Like, you just pay
it off. It'll auto pay off the outstanding bill.
You can set up your bill pay like that.
Before the time that it's due.
Or at the time that it's due. Yeah.
Holy shit, you have to show this to me after the radio show. How have I had a credit card
for this? I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh my god.
You know you do bill pay like that, right? Like you pay.
Yeah.
Okay, just like, making sure.
Like
so.
My cell phone or whatever, like other bills.
Yeah, and it's automatic and you don't have to think about paying it. It's the same with credit cards.
Yeah, because last month was the first time I actually made a conscious effort to go and pay it off, and then I kept forgetting, and I kept using it, and I'm like, god, this is so stupid, I fucking hate credit cards. Wow. Blowing my mind right now on HQAF Radio, folks. You're listening to it live.
And this is why I'm her guru.
Seriously. Oh my god. Wow. I'm just, like, I'm blown away. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Where does one even start?
I don't know. I feel like we just need to delve into credit cards, and I need to make sure that every single knot or every single thought that you had about credit card is correct.
I know.
Seriously. Like, what do you think credit is?
I don't know, actually.
It's almost like, consider it a loan, like a mini loan that the bank, the credit card company is giving you. So you spend $5 at CVS, you use your credit card.
Yeah.
The company is giving you $5 and you have to pay that off in full every month. And the reason why they charge you interest is because the longer that you have it out, the more money you're going to owe them. Like, that's what interest is. Like, it's just money that they're recouping back.
Yeah. I honestly never really understood the idea of credit cards, because it's like, if you have the money, why don't you use it? Because I guess what I thought credit was just, like, fake money.
Yeah.
Because it's not really yours, and it's not really real, because you have to pay it back. So I'm like, why does it even matter? Is it just to show good fortune?
Well, so I actually saw a documentary on, like, the start of credit cards. And so there was the beginning of it was this thing called, like, the dining club. And the idea is that you can go anywhere from, like, New York to another country, London to Paris. And at certain places, if you use this dining club card, they would take it and know that you're good for the money. Like, almost like a little mini loan, like I was saying. So that it's the idea that you can use your credit card anywhere and not have to use cash. Like, the idea is, like, it's cashless. And that's a little bit different from a debit card, because then that's pulling straight from your account.
Right. Which is why, so was this before the origin or before the start of debit cards, and that's why credit cards, like,
no, because, like, it's a little bit different, because debit is like pulling from a pot of money, but credit is like people are giving you money to use, assuming and they are assuming that you'll pay them back.
But what is the point of having a credit, like if I have the money.
Well, consider it like this. Like, let's say you don't. Let's say you're don't have any savings right now.
Yeah.
You can use the credit card still, like, and pay like this really big lump sum. And that is essentially saying that the credit card company is like confident that you'll pay it back at some point.
Right.
Right. Like that's what that is essentially saying. And so that's why it's important to kind of build up this good credit. I'm doing air quotes here. That way people like other people, other financial institutions know that you're good for paying back that money at a set amount of time. Like, that's why we try to build credit at an earlier age, and that's why credit cards are an easy way to get into that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's just, like, if you have the money, why wouldn't you just use it? Like, I just never got it. I don't know. Like, it makes sense to me how people fall into credit card debt because, you know, with the wrong mentality about it as seeing it as free money, which my brother was telling me. He's like, oh, yeah, when... I was a kid, I thought credit cards was just, like, free money that the bank would give you. Like, you could just go and use whatever, because my brother didn't understand anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, if that's the case, why don't you just use your own cash, and then that's a better way of, you know, disciplining yourself, essentially.
Well, no, and truly that, like, that is, if you don't have any money discipline, like, if you are a... just that shopaholic and you have to just buy the next thing and you don't have any discipline in the way that you spend money, then yes, that is actually a very good way of controlling yourself is by using your debit card because it's directly linked to your bank account.
Yeah.
Credit cards are, I don't know how else to kind of like say this. It's just like, it's money that you probably might not have, you know,
Oh, it's kind of like, so you want to go and make a big payment, but you don't have all the money in your bank, but you will later because you get paid every two weeks. But you're in that middle of the 2 weeks period.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's the use of a credit card. That's why it's still in use today.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you have different credit spending limits for different cards.
Yeah.
So depending on how good your credit score is, you can have, you know, like the Amex is like unlimited, but you can have like down to 500,
right.
Things like that.
I guess it just annoys me because it's like, I have the money, so why would I use fake money for this? But maybe when you show me how to do the automatic payments, I'll be less annoyed.
Well, and you have like a credit card with rewards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also another point is like debit cards don't usually come with the kind of rewards that credit cards do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All things to think about, listeners. Get a credit card. We've been talking a lot about, well, recently, credit cards. But previous to that, which all kind of fits into the whole scope of money and budget. And so I guess my main question is, how does one even start a budget? Where do you begin? It's kind of overwhelming.
It is very overwhelming. I remember even just trying to put it all into an Excel format.
Yeah.
Like a spreadsheet and tracking how much Chris and I took home, where each of that went, or tracking our salary, like how much we make every month, deducting like the retirement, deducting taxes, deducting commuting, like all the things that get taken out of your salary.
Yeah.
What our take home was, and then deducting just our annual or our estimated monthly expenses like groceries.
Yeah.
Dining out, alcohol, cat, things like that. And I think for me that that was a good starting point, but that proved to be outdated. Like I didn't think that I was spending like X amount on groceries. You know, like that was just an estimate.
Right.
And the idea of tracking each and every receipt by hand was so old school and outdated to me, and you know me, like, I love technology. Technology can rule my life, and I will accept it. Like, bring me into the Matrix, motherfucker. Like, I'm ready. I need that. And so when I discovered this app, You Need a Budget, disclaimer, we are not sponsored by You Need a Budget, but if you want to get that app, my referral link in the episode description below.
Right, absolutely, man. Help a brother out, hell yeah.
I liked You Need a Budget because it gave me a good starting point for what to look at. Like, when you open up the budget there, it gives you, these are what your true obligations are. Or, yeah, I think that's what they call it, true obligations.
Yeah.
Or no, immediate obligations and then true expenses. So immediate obligations being things like utilities, groceries, internet, gas, transportation.
Yeah.
And then your immediate obligation, no, true expenses.
True expenses yeah.
being auto insurance, home insurance, things that you still have to pay off, but they're not immediate. Like, these are things that you still need to do to go on the day-to-day.
Right.
But you don't pay it on a monthly basis like you would your other expenses.
Yeah.
You know, like, it kind of gave me a clear starting up point of actually where all my money is going from and how much I need to spend up. Before, I wasn't really thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I liked You Need a Budget because the second aspect of it is then I can link it to all of my accounts, my checking account, my credit card account, my savings account, and Chris's accounts. And, like, it automatically pulled in all of those transactions, and then I can, like, label each and every one.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it so easy. I actually check it, like, twice or three times a day, and I just like knowing that, even if nothing changes, like, I like knowing that I at least have that picture, and
yeah.
I feel comfortable just, like, okay, I know where I'm at now.
And I think being that you're type A, you also like the organization of
yes.
it. Is it kind of like
yes.
your Pokemon, like, gotta collect them all, gotta collect all that transaction information so I can adjust for the future?
Oh, that's so true.
Oh my god!
That's so true. Like, every time I see, like, a little red notification on the app,
yeah.
I'm like, I gotta fix it. Yes, like,
right.
yes.
Everything has to
categorize everything.
Out. Yeah, I know.
I haven't gotten to the point where I color-coded anything yet. They have a color-code feature.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet, but I have for some.
Yeah. Like, it might be a fun weekend activity coming up soon for you. And... you know, what are some things that you recommend for people to budget, even if it's not, like, an immediate need? So you were talking about, oh, like, when you first start out, it's really just looking at what are the immediate needs as far as true and true expenses. But, like, what's some of the other stuff that maybe is kind of forgotten that is good to think about when you're trying to think strategically about your money?
Yeah, some of the things I almost consistently forget to the budget for or to even think about: vacation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, vacation, entertainment things. You know, like, if you go to a concert, you go to, like, a fun event.
Yeah.
Things that you just do for fun, for your own kind of well-being, but you don't necessarily put it in a budget. Like, I think that's important too. Like, you should put aside money for fun and just, you know, you shouldn't feel beholden to the budget. You should have the budget work with you and having fun sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very important, and it's very easy to forget. The other thing is budgeting for the long term, whether that be, like, an emergency fund, your children's future, a house in the near future, something like that, and just making sure you're able to, whatever is not allocated in your budget, that it's going towards that long-term fund.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
That way it's all just kind of put into a pot of money somewhere.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And do you guys divvy out your fund, or do you, like, does Chris have a fund and then you have a fund, or
so,
no?
So actually we have, in our budget, we have a category for fund money, but before we even go and split up our money into our respective joint accounts, we decided that a portion of our salary is actually going to go into our personal accounts, because we have two personal accounts that neither of us can see into.
Yeah.
Just a portion of our money will go into that, and we can do whatever we want with that money, no questions asked. It's ours to have.
Yeah.
Personally, yeah.
What do you use your money on, your personal money?
Sometimes gifts for Chris.
Aww.
Sometimes just going out when I'm not with Chris. You know, he goes out somewhere else, so it
yeah.
doesn't make sense to include it in the budget.
Right.
That's it. I've been thinking about using it for a new camera.
Oh, why are you laughing? That's cool.
I know. I just, yeah, just, yeah.
That's, what? has Chris dissuaded this idea or dissuaded you from this idea?
I guess now that I'm thinking about it or talking about it, it does feel a little bit like, wow, I'm using my, like, this will be the first time that I use my own money for a big expenditure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it feels kind of weird. I guess, like, aww. The other thing that I do is I am dabbling in the stock market right now. So I'm putting some of my own personal money into that.
Yeah.
Cool. It's been bad right now because of he who shall not be named in the current recession that we're sort of not... I don't know. It's probably not right to call it a recession, but the market is a little bit down because of it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. You're telling me that you don't allocate funds towards your My Hero Academia passion? Yeah, calling you out, Francis.
I get all that for free. How dare you? True. How dare you?
Wait, how do you get it for free? Can you tell us which website you torrent it from?
Oh, not the anime, the manga.
Oh.
Jesus.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah.
How but, has your budget started looking so far?
Oh.
Like, I know, so you started looking at it for, like, the first month, so I'm curious now that you've heard my kind of take on
how to start. Yeah, we've looked at it. We've looked at the app, like, oh my god, I bet if I log in right now, it's going to say, last time logged in, wait, you need a...
YNAB.
Oh, there we go. Doesn't it tell you when you last logged in?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, look, introducing two-step verification. That's how long ago I jumped into this. I have plus... What is this?
You have 99 transactions. Girl!
Oh, is it really connected to everything?
Yes!
Okay.
Did you think I was just making that up?
Yeah. Also, is that really what's in... Okay, I'm going to look at this later. So that's
I'm like dumbfounded.
You're shook right now.
I am so shook. So are you still in the trial phase?
I think so, yeah.
Or did you buy it?
They haven't asked for my credit card.
Okay, so you're still in the trial phase.
Do I give them it?
Like after the end of your 1 month, you can't use
it. Will they email it to me or what?
Well, there'll be a notification at the front.
I guess I have to open the app for me. I to, know, like, see that Jesus. It takes me out. Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to talk to you about how to do things, because I don't know how to do... Francis has literally only been sharing knowledge with me, but you have to consider the fact that I learned 3 weeks ago you have to pay off your credit card, so, like, consider me a baby bird learning.
I know it's a lot. I mean, like, 99 is going to be a lot of transactions for you to go through and categorize.
I have to go through and categorize them?
Well, so, like, consider that sometimes, like, well, so YNAB is smart. If you go to Safeway and you categorize it as your groceries, it will start learning that you go to Safeway for your groceries.
Okay.
Pretty simple. So you just you just have to approve it at that point. But there are some things that will show up that it might not know, so you just have to go through and categorize.
If you just make you need a budget and present that information to me like it's a Pokemon, then I'll do this. Like, grocery expenses are like psychic Pokemon, whereas student loans are like electric Pokemon.
I don't even know how I would make this into a game for you. Like,
I don't know either.
Like,
but
the
I'm
only thing I can tell you
try.
Is, like, you want kids, so here's the first part to capturing those kids.
Capturing those kids. I know, which is accurate, but my excuse is that my parents didn't have jack shit figured out, and they had 4 kids, so I don't need to have anything figured out, but I really should, because that was really scary. And, like, when I think back to it, like, I don't know how they made that work, and to hear them say it, they don't know either. It just kind of, like, worked out.
One of the things, one of my anxieties, like, coming into my 30s, I guess, is, like, not having enough to retire. I mean, like I said True. Before in the beginning... with the retirement calculator thing, it worries me that if I get old and I just am not able to provide for myself,
yeah,
you know, that's one of the things, or that I'm just have to keep working and I can never retire.
I'm planning on just dying, but maybe it's because I'm not in my 30s.
You know,
yet.
The bus hasn't hit me, so I just
I know
have
it was supposed
to
hit you.
I have to just keep living.
Yeah. Oh, we never explained that analogy, have we? On the radio show?
When I was going to turn 30, I thought that the bus was hitting me. Like, the metaphorical bus, I guess, or maybe a literal bus, because 30 was, like, the prime of my life, and I had lived for everything that I was
Hope
meant
to
live
for.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're, like, done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Francis always tried to, like, manifest this bus, metaphorical or literal, and then he turned 30 and, like, the bus was late. He was stuck in traffic. I don't know. You're living to see the day, man.
I remember taking a photo. It must have been, like, a photo of the day one day.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a bus, and it said, "Have a nice day."
Yeah. And you're like, wow, just missed it. Just missed it, fam. Yeah. So what you're saying is I shouldn't bank on the bus hitting me as well. Like, I should start thinking about retirement.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the bus isn't going to come anytime soon.
God damn it. So, financial things, or advice from Francis, I should say, has been top of mind because Harley and I are starting to think about saving for a house. And we just, like, don't really know where to start and haven't really thought about it and haven't gotten anything. We don't even have a joint banking account or checking or anything account. And so we were actually going to do that on Saturday, but Harley was deathly ill and was just, like, coughing up a lung, so we couldn't go, which is why. So last weekend was actually when we were going to sit down and really go through You Need a Budget and open up a joint account, a bank account, and, like, get all this stuff done, and then, we just, like, didn't. And so, yeah, I guess, like, my question to you is, how and why, and just so many things.
How to open a bank account?
No, just, like...
How to save for a house?
Yes.
I see. So what kind of account were you trying to open?
A joint account. You know, like, one that has both our names on it.
But, like, a checking or a savings, like, you know, they can exist, and you guys
could... I don't know the difference. What does that even mean?
A checking and a savings?
Yeah.
You don't know the difference between checking and savings?
I know I have a checking account.
Actually, that's a good point, because, like, I feel nowadays, like, both of them are the same.
Yeah, because aren't they interconnected to...
The idea of a checking account is, like, you're supposed to have, like, a debit card, I guess, linked to it. That's the big point.
Wait. So, if I start a joint checking account, does that mean we would get a debit card for it?
Yeah.
But if I start a joint savings account, does that mean we can only put money into the account?
Yeah. No, you can take money out of it, too.
Oh, but we don't get...
But you don't
get
a debit card.
T!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Is this, like, knowledge that I should know? Because I
guess so, something? Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, it sounded like you had no idea you're just going to open an account.
Yeah, like, oh my God, thank God I got you.
I would like an account, please.
Yeah, I would like an account. Oh, okay, a joint account. Yeah, so what kind?
There's, like, so many, too. Like, you could have been, like, into money market accounts or...
Yeah, it's like, oh, what kind of account? Oh, one with both our names on it. It's like, that's not what I'm asking you.
They could have given you, like, a tin can and just, like, write your name across this tin can.
Exactly, put your quarters in it every time you, like, do your laundry, and there's your account. Well, so what's, like, what do you have? You have a joint account. Do you have both?
We do.
Do you have a both
you,
one?
You know you have, like, joint credit cards, too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could add Harley to your credit card.
But it wouldn't add to his credit history, or would
it? It would. I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah?
I've never looked at it at that point of view, but that's sometimes why parents put kids on their credit cards, so that way they can also share
their
credit history.
Well, so if I start a joint checking account versus a saving, or, like, do I need to have separate money for both? You know how they say, like, you have to have a minimum, right, to open an account?
Some of them do. That's why you have to check with every bank.
Okay. For both accounts or just for a account? Or wait, are they two separate accounts?
Yeah, a checking and a savings are two separate things. You can open a checking account and not have a savings account.
So what do you guys have, you and Chris?
So the bank that we have at USAA, I'm a loyal customer of theirs. I only have a checking account. We only have a joint checking account with them. I have come to realize in this past year of financial evolution of the mind that there are such things called high yield savings accounts, which are a lot better than the traditional savings accounts that you might invest or put your money in with, like, Bank of America or whatever, because they have a higher rate of interest.
Oh, okay.
Savings accounts with, like the traditional brick and mortar banks are very low. Like, their interest rates are very low.
Yeah.
So open up a joint checking account. Like, I recommend you do that. And then look at another place like Synchrony or like a bank that's just strictly online to, like, do some online research. I use Synchrony myself. The reason why they're able to offer higher interest rates than brick and mortar is because they don't have to pay the expenses in of maintaining a brick and mortar building. That's why they're able to give you those higher rates. Oh, okay. And so you put your the money that you're trying to save in that, and your money will at least grow at the rate of inflation, as opposed to just putting it into...
And it just being stagnant and not really, like, growing and gaining interest. Anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I should open a...
And all of these you can open in both yours and Harley's name.
Okay.
I think you can even add more people if you want. Like, truly, like, technology is a great thing.
Wow. So wait, which one should I open? So you're saying a checking account.
All of them. Open all of them.
All of them?
A checking and a savings.
Does that mean I'm going to have more notifications in my You Need a Budget?
Yes.
Oh, that seems like hard. but if you say so, I mean,
how many accounts do you have now between you and Harley?
I guess I have a savings account. I have a checking and a savings and a credit card, and he has, I think, the same, a checking.
Yeah,
savings,
like the basics.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, like, you guys should already know this information.
I know. It's like, well, but then here I am having a credit card for 5 years and me not knowing that you have to pay it off. It's just, yeah. Like, every day is a new fucking day for me, man. I'm just so busy with my several personas and my three Twitters. And just, like, I have too many other crazy anime things I gotta do.
I feel like... Like, before we could even get into the budget, we have to, like, go through, like, the nuances of, like, this is a checking account. This is what a debit card is. Yeah.
Because my parents didn't teach me any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they helped me open up my first checking account or savings account, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you're on your own, because we're not really sure what we're doing, and that's kind of it.
Well, I'm here for you.
Thanks, Bay. I appreciate that.
Do you feel like you're ready to start a budget? Ready to look at that budget?
Yeah, maybe. I think the benefit of this, and it's a little bit selfish, but I can go and re-listen to this and then, like, take notes. And, like, it's like my homework is recorded. It's like taping your lecture, right?
Yeah.
So now I can, like, revisit it when
that's true. And because you love our podcast so much, and we'll probably re-listen to this three or four times, like, this will just sink in.
I know.
And maybe, like, next episode is, like, lesson number two.
Right,
mortgages.
How to invest
mortgages
in the stock market.
Mortgages 101.
Or mortgages, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, taking it another step. Because it was you. I wanted to talk about, which we talked about a little bit off audio, is, like, if you're planning for a house, like, what percentage of your income should you be putting away?
Yeah. God, I feel like before we end the show, I should probably just put out a disclaimer. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just Alana's friend that is giving great financial advice.
And he's really good at with money.
And I don't even want to, like, I probably shouldn't have qualified that with great. It's just financial advice that may or may not be true. It's probably true.
It is true. Yeah, I feel like you know enough to say you're a qualified person.
It's true enough, but I'm open to criticism if you're willing to... Well, actually, no, I'm not. Internet
yeah,
people...
also, I was about to say, no, he's not. So y'all can fuck off if you have some issues with our shit. But, yeah, can I just get you on the record saying how much I'm supposed to save? Because I know we talked about it, but I'm going to forget. And like I said, this is, like, my homework.
How much you're supposed to save?
For a house. Remember we talked about, or you...
Oh, you want me to, like, give you the number? I don't know the number.
I thought you said, like, 30%
okay.
of your income.
Oh. Okay, so...
Sorry,
so,
yeah.
The rule of thumb for how much you should be spending on rent, or, like, the maximum you should be spending on rent is 30% of your salary.
Okay. Got it. And that's pre-tax.
Pre-tax.
And houses expect between 10 and 20% for a down payment. So that's, like, the total price.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. 20% if you really want to maximize your long-term spending, but, yeah.
Yeah. And also, what was the other thing? Because you were talking about how to think about buying a house. Like, was it that you had to think in terms of the number, or in terms of the house, or in terms of your salary?
You have to think in terms of your salary, right? Like, if you can't afford the mortgage, then it's almost like you can't afford the rent.
Oh, yeah. Which, so, yeah. Actually, now I feel really dumb. That makes a lot of sense. Like, why was that such a reveal? Holy shit.
Well, oh, my God. It's some people, that like, it's two different terms, and it's hard to kind of put the two together unless you think about it like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much. I'm so glad we're getting this on the record so I can, like, revisit this and, you know.
Maybe, like, every episode just needs to be a life lesson and
for
we can
me,
just go
specifically,
back.
Specifically. Which is why we,
tutorials.
You know, implemented a goal series for Alana and not for Francis, because Francis is perfect and I am very flawed.
Tutorials for Alana. Maybe we can do like an anime run through and you can show me the finer parts of Yu-Gi-Oh, I guess, or something.
Really? You'll let me?
Oh my god, what if we do like a Yu-Gi-Oh card game battle?
Card game battle? Oh my fucking god, you mean a duel?
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I could do a card game battle on the regular with you, buddy. Fuck yeah, we're gonna like throw down all the cards and like battle them with them. It's gonna be fucking tight.
That's what they do in the TV
show.
It's called
dueling.
No, they're battling.
No, they're dueling. They're literally dueling.
The monsters are literally battling each other.
I agree that that's such a high-level word for such a bullshit show, but that is what they call it. It's called Duel Monsters, not Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Because Yu-Gi-Oh is a show. They don't call it Yu-Gi-Oh cards in the Yu-Gi-Oh show. You feel me?
That's it for our show, folks. I'm Francis.
And I'm Alana. And you can find us on Instagram at hqaf.productions. We post every other week.
And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
And until next time,
the best ship to sail on is friendship.